We're going to change up the schedule just a little bit. We have our public hearing, which will begin at 2 p.m. Mountain Time. And because it is scheduled, published to go at 2 p.m. Mountain Time, we like to stay on track. And just for those of you that are with us today here in the room, if you do plan on visiting with the commission, please make sure that you've signed in with Liz, who is over here underneath. There she is, raising her hand.
She's back here.
Oh, she's back there with Nick. So if you would like to speak to the commission, we do ask that you sign in. So with that, what we are going to do is move down to number 7 on our agenda. This is the license fee package. And we'll take as much time as we need here up until 2 p.m. If we're not done by 2 p.m., we will break, and so we will stay on track to have our public hearing begin at 2 p.m.
Sorry about that, Madam Chair. Again, Scott Simpson, Deputy Secretary. Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, wanted to introduce and maybe go over some things that were started back in July as far as discussion about fees. We spent quite a bit of time in July down in Sioux Falls talking about where we are at as a department, what we have seen over the last 10 years, 5 years, what we've seen actually over the last 4 years with some economics maybe not working in our favor. And just wanted to give you a little history on that last month. Continue on with that conversation this month. I'll do a little bit of a background on some things, but heavy lifting is going to be done by Directors Kirchman and Van Meter, and they're going to present some things to you that hopefully move us in the direction of continuing that conversation about fees. First thing I wanted to bring up again that we visited about last month is that our system is a user pay, user benefit system. The folks that use state parks, the people that buy hunting and fishing licenses, when they pay into that system, they receive a benefit for that. Those dollars go back into fish production, infrastructure maintenance, their roads, their programs, they fund our walk-in program. They do all of those things. When those dollars come into the department, we try to send them right back out in the form of programs and infrastructure and opportunity. And there isn't general funds or a lot of general funds that come to the department to support the activities that we do every day. We receive about $4 million a year in the Parks Division. General funds within the Wildlife Division. It makes up about 3% of our total budget. So those general funds do. So primarily we are funded by the user pay, user benefit system, whereby people buy licenses, people buy camp that they go to support the system and the programs that we use or that we provide. Talk about the last time that we were that fees were increased, 2014 on the wildlife side, so it's been 10 years. On the park side, 2019, only 5 years ago. But as I mentioned before, what we've seen happen in the last 4 years has really eroded the buying power of those dollars that were generated by that parks increase in 2019, and certainly has had an impact for the last increase that the wildlife fees saw in 2014. Cost of business has increased. There's no doubt about that. You've seen it in your personal lives. I don't care if you're a producer or a business owner or a person going to the grocery store, right? We have seen that cost of doing business go higher. There was an inflationary increases in the last 4 years. The information that we provided last month, we've seen about 20% inflation over the last 4 years. And it has required our divisions, both Jeff and Tom, to make some adjustments, to reduce some spending, to leave some positions open, to cut back on some things in order for us to respond to what that purchasing power, what has done to the purchasing power of the dollar. So, cost of business has gone up, and we have made the adjustments to use the funds that we have available to us, hopefully so that none of our folks see any see any, I don't know why that happened, see any impact to services. And so anyway, we took an inventory or an assessment and say, okay, what have we pulled back on? You know, some of those things, whether it's purchasing equipment, holding positions, reducing expenditures on different things. I mean, we have guarded those dollars fairly well, I believe, and made the adjustments necessary over the last last couple of years. And we went back and we said, all right, what does that look like? And we went to work with the budget subcommittee on July 24th, which is the timeline that we laid out to the commission last month. And we brought forward a package that identified fees, working with the subcommittee, that would take care of that need. What it would take to get us where we felt like we needed to be, to catch up on some of that deferred spending, to catch up on some of that deferred maintenance, run things the way they should be run. And so we brought that package forward to the budget subcommittee. Budget subcommittee made some adjustments to that package. There was definitely, you know, each one of you up here at the table feels a little differently about certain fees in certain areas, that some should be less, some should be more. Certainly understand that, but we worked through a lot of those things on July 24th with and then obviously we've shared that information with each commissioner individually so that we've been able to get that feedback from you guys too. Just in general, I wanted to say that, you know, as we move through this, we did not treat resident and non-resident fees equally. We didn't say, well, fees are going up by 10% across the board. Since the last fee increases, we've certainly had some conversations with different individuals, different groups. We've heard from our sportsmen, we've heard from our residents that, you know, non-residents are probably getting a pretty good deal in South Dakota on some things. If you look around at some of those other states, and Tom and Jeff are both going to visit about some of these things, that it's time for some of those fees to go up, and what you're going to see is a package that probably identifies or does identify more increase for the non-residents than the residents. But both, we feel, keep licenses affordable, keep camping affordable, keep access affordable. That's one of our primary goals, is to make sure that we aren't pricing anybody out of the outdoor recreation business. And finally, as I said before, the additional revenue that will be generated from the fee package that you're going to hear about, you know, where does that go? Yeah, there's some specific things, there are some programmatic things, but in general, when we kind of look at this, the revenue that's raised on the wildlife side primarily goes to programs, whether that's a walk-in program, whether that's working with a private landowner on some access or some habitat work, whether it's ADC work, animal damage, whether it's WDM, it's primarily programs on the wildlife side. A little different on the park side. As you all know, you've seen enough of our the places that we manage. There's a significant amount of infrastructure that the Parks Division manages, and there's a significant amount of reinvestment that needs to go back into those facilities to make sure that they're in the shape that people want them to be when they show up. And that's primarily where the revenue from these proposed fee increases would go. So that's just a little bit of background. I don't want to take up all the time because these two are going to get to the meat and potatoes of it. But I'm going to come back up here when we're done, kind of wrap things up. And I'll let Jeff kick it off and work through the Parks Division recommendations.
Jeff, thank you.
Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Rowland, Jeff Embiner, Parks and Recreation Division Director. Yeah, Scott said, appreciate his lead into this. I'm going to kind of start off with a little more lead in before we get into the individual fees. If you would turn, though, to item number 7 in your commission book and the second page behind the action sheet there, that's what I will be referring to today. Let me go through the park fees. So again, just a little background here as we move through this. The majority of this revenue in this fee package is going to go towards our infrastructure needs, our facility maintenance needs that we budget for every year. I'll show you some information here later on in the program, but we're looking to maintain on average of about a $15 million capital or asset management program. So we'll get to that in a little bit. Cost of doing business, as Deputy Director Scott mentioned, has gone up as well. Cost of toilet paper, cost of electricity, just all those operational things that our users consume when they're using our parks. We've also tried to increase the use in our parks. That's always one of our goals. And the more you get, the more you have to spend, too, to take care of those folks. So there is some of this fee package that would go towards those operational expenditures. But again, the bulk of it will go towards our asset management program. You know, one of our primary goals, and I just can't say this enough, Scott touched on it too, is we want to remain affordable. So we feel like all the fees we're recommending to you today still put us in that corner. We don't want to lose customers over this deal. You know, we're very mindful of the support we get. As Scott mentioned, we are a user pay, user benefit program. Department for the most part, and you know, we depend on those folks. So again, we don't want to lose those folks. I think they like what they get in our park system. I think we have a great park system. We hear those comments all the time. We have looked at surrounding state rates. That was interesting. I think what we'll show you will put us we'll still be in the ballpark of what those averages are around with the surrounding states or are still under. So a lot of things are going on in other states, just like we're talking here today too. Scott mentioned last fee increase was in 2019. So, you know, how do you approach something like this? You know, we looked at what our needs are, not only today, but maybe over the next 5 years, and how could we average that out. So for us, we were looking at somewhere around a $4 to $4.5 million fee package to make that work, adding roughly $4 million to our capital or asset management program, and $500,000 or so to our operations budget. You know, and again, those numbers are fluid; they depend on the weather, a lot of other factors, use, and that kind of stuff. But that was kind of our target. So that's why we ended up with what we're about to show you. So we'll get into that now. I'm going to break this into four different categories. So I'm going to start off with park entrance licenses first. And some of these, I'll go into a little more detail than others. But as you can see on here, the park entrance licenses roughly represent about half of our revenue that we generate in the park. So very important to us. We are recommending a small increase, 11%, $4 increase for residents to purchase their park entrance license. If they want a second one, we will continue that program where they buy a double at half price. That would be a $6 increase on that. But something new this year is we're recommending a non-resident annual at a different rate. We've seen this trend with all the surrounding states. Just about all of them have adjusted their fees to some capacity. Some have doubled them. We are not recommending that. We're recommending going about 50% of what a resident pays. Again, we value our non-resident visitors, and we don't want to lose those folks. So you will see that we are recommending a non-resident annual cost $60. If they wanted to buy a second, it would be $90. That's approximately 50% more than what a resident would pay. With a transferable license, we always bump that up when we adjust our annuals. This year, the changes, we're recommending a $10 increase in that, but we're also recommending that that would not be available to non-residents. Dailies, kind of following suit. You can do the math there. We're looking at a $2 increase for the resident daily, $7 increase for non-residents. We like that daily to be about one-fourth of what the annual costs. That's always been kind of our math, somewhere right around that. 4 days, if you stay in a park for 4 days, you could just as well buy the annual. The goal with the dailies, or the hope with the dailies, is more people would actually buy annuals. It's a better deal for them if they use the parks more often, and it's better for us as well. So you can see some of the other increases there on the Mickelson Trail. Those fees have not been increased for many, many years. Even before 2019, they were not increased at that time. We've also been increasing the motor coach fee $1 per person. That primarily only takes place out of Custer State Park. The one-day special event, I want to draw your attention to that a little bit. This is done per 50 people. So it's not a $50 increase per person. It's a $50 increase for 50 people. So basically, when you come to a park and you qualify for the one-day special event pass, right now you pay $1 per 50 people. We're suggesting that would be $2 for 50 people. And then you can see the other fee here at Custer State Park. We are adjusting the seven-day vehicle fee just by $5 to $25. And then again, with our unattendeds, which we don't necessarily refer to as a ticket, but when somebody chooses not to purchase an entrance license at the gate, that becomes their daily license. Staff will put that on their windshield, much like a parking violation. And that user has the choice of treating that as a daily and just paying that fee, or they can turn that in and convert it to an annual. We waive the fee at that point if they buy the annual license. So those are our recommendations for our park entrance licenses. When you add them all up, it comes to just about $2.3 million. We'll move on to the next one here. We're going to talk about camping, but before we talk about our camping fee recommendations, I want to explain a major change in what we're doing right now. Right now, we have four different classifications of campgrounds. We have at the top the prime campgrounds, we have preferred campgrounds, we have modern campgrounds, and we have basic campgrounds. Historically, over the last couple decades, we have managed them on an occupancy basis. So if you're in a prime campground, you have to average over 95% occupancy on weekends. If you're in a preferred, it's 80. There is no class or percentage for modern. And then basic is just your campgrounds that don't offer any comfort stations. They're fairly primitive in nature, but yet they're used pretty well. But anyway, we're wanting to shift towards a two classification system, modern and basic. So we're going to go from an occupancy based system to a facility based system. So prime campgrounds, preferred, and modern campgrounds all have the same amenities in them. They all have offer electricity, 20, 30, 50 amp electrical outlets. They all offer a comfort station, which offers flush toilets, showers. They offer some sort of hard surface campsite. Could be paved, could be gravel. And then they have a whole lot of other amenities like dump stations, picnics, playgrounds, picnic shelters, and they're usually staffed. And that is the definition of a modern campground. So those three classifications that are now all going to move up into that all offer those things. But in the past, we in a sense, we subsidized some of the modern campsites in the preferred, but we no longer can afford to do that. So we want to just go to two classes of campgrounds. You'll either fall into the modern or the basic. The basic, on the other hand, typically do not offer electricity. Only have vault toilets, do not necessarily have a hard surface, well, they do not have hard surface campsites for the most part. They're grass, they're somewhat undefined, and then rarely are they staffed for any large portion of the day. They may have a ranger drive through. So there is a major distinction. Roughly probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 90% of our campgrounds are modern. The other 10% are basic in nature. Those are ballpark figures. So understanding that, moving into the fees, our goal with the camping, how we set out was to keep this affordable. We only really wanted to increase our camping $1, but we also needed to tackle our electrical rate. When we looked around at the other states, we were way under what everyone else is charging. Most states charge between $8 and $10 a night for an electrical site. We are recommending at the bottom of the sheet, you can see there, to move that up by $3 to $7. Camping in general is a dollar with a few exceptions, and I'll go through those. If you look at the third line down, statewide modern, that is the grouping of those three different classifications. So we have a range of $16 to $22. That's what we currently charge in those campgrounds. The fee that we're recommending is taking those $16 sites and increasing them by $7, taking those $22 sites and increasing them by $1 so that they're all at the $23 mark. So if you add the electrical rate onto them, our average modern or our modern campsite will now be $30, which is right in the ballpark or under what most states are charging for a similar campsite. So back up now a little bit and go to the Custer State Park, two campgrounds there, just adjusting them by a dollar. They've always historically been a little more expensive than the rest of the campgrounds, and we're going to leave them that way. There's quite a bit of demand out there. Statewide basic, we are moving that up by $5 to match it with our tent only non-electric sites. We didn't feel it was really fair for somebody with an RV to come in and pay less to use a basic campsite than a person with a tent. So we're just simply matching those two rates. And then you can see the rest of those fees. There's a couple other park classifications in Custer where we're adjusting those by a dollar. Our camping cabins, the very popular camping cabins, we are recommending a $5 increase on those. Again, we did look at other states. Most states are between $60 and $90 a night for their camping cabins. So we're adjusting them by, or recommending an adjustment of $5 to a fee of $60. Our modern cabins and suites, we're asking for a fee increase of $45 to expand the range that we have from 85 to 205 to 85 to 250. But at this time, we're not going to put that new rate on any of those. We just want the ability to adjust down the road when we need to. Then we have a couple other lodges at Shady Hill and Oahe downstream where we're making some small increases, $20 and $25, just again based on use. And then I touched on the electrical fee. So all that together comes up to about $1.46 million of revenue. The next category is our miscellaneous fees. A little background on this. Firewood, why the odd number, 72 cents? We do pay taxes on this. So at the park, it will actually be a $7 bundle of wood. That's the difference between $6.72 and $7 is the taxes. Then the other reservation fees, they're important for you to know this and understand this. Our whole goal is to drive people away from the call center and to go online. It costs us a dollar every time somebody makes an online reservation. It costs us $6 if they make a call center reservation. We have historically always charged our non-residents a little higher fee when they make a reservation. So we're suggesting when they use the online service that we would like to increase that by $2.30. It costs them $10 to make a reservation. That could be for one night or it could be for 14 nights. They pay that fee one time. The call center fee for non-residents, though, we're suggesting you go up to $6.30. That would be $16. Again, we're hoping that they have the option of going online, and most people do that. We've seen a good increase in our online sales as compared to the call center sales with our reservations. And then our residents have never really paid the true costs of what it costs to make a call center reservation. So we're suggesting we add $4, recommending we add $4 to that fee increase so that they pay the actual cost of making a reservation, which is $6. If a resident wants to go online and make a reservation, there is no cost for a resident. It's free. Then we have a couple catamaran storage fees that we're just increasing to kind of keep up with. We do these every once in a while, just trying to stay relevant with the times and what people pay out in the rest of the world. So those fees add up to about $200,000, a little over $200,000. And then the last categories are resident boat registration fees. Now, the important thing to note here, these are fees that residents pay only. These are not non-residents, just residents. These were last adjusted 10 years ago. So we're suggesting an increase of $5 for boats that are 19 foot or under. Boats that are over 19 feet pay $10, and non-motorized boats who pay $3. You can see the recommended fee or fee increase there of 30, 55, and 18. That would generate a little over $400,000. So, question is, where's all this money going to go? You know, I just showed you $4.368 million. See that at the bottom of your sheet there. Important for you to know. Again, the bulk of this is going to go into our asset management program. This is funding all those development projects that we care for across the state. We have 8 million visitors that use our parks annually. Over 350,000 camping nights. We have roads, 300 plus comfort stations, playgrounds, beaches, boat ramps, all those things that we have to regularly do maintenance to, docks and all that kind of stuff. And the inflationary costs that we've experienced here in the last 4 years have just gone through the roof. And we've seen 35 to 40% increases in a lot of the stuff we used to pay less for. We kind of went through some of those examples last month at the commission meeting, or in July, I should say. We want to target a $15,000 annual budget for that over 5 years. We would start out, as you can see by that graph, a little heavy at 16. That would be infusing $4 million. Did I say 16,000? I meant 16 million, excuse me. Wish it was that cheap. We're going to infuse $4 million into the $12 million fee or amount we have right now. That would get us back on track to accomplishing a lot of the projects that we've kind of deferred, frankly, because we just didn't have the money. Over time, that line tends to drop. The reason for that is we shift those monies into operations. We have to take care of our parks on the local level. That comes first and foremost. That's our managers paying the electrical bill, paying the supplies bills, buying nails, buying lumber, all that kind of stuff. That has to come first. But just as important for us is maintaining those facilities for the long haul. So that's what we use the asset management program for. A lot of times we refer to it as a capital development program. That's what that is. So our goal is to be somewhere around that $4 million, to use somewhere between $3.7 and $4 million of these new fees into that program. Here's some of the things we would do with that $3.7 million. I won't go through these projects, but you can kind of see most of them are nuts and bolts things that we just got to maintain. Doing some remodeling work on a cabin, to putting up a boundary fence at one of our park areas, building up, doing some renovations to a cold storage building. They're pretty nuts and bolts things that a lot of us do with our own places. And they touch all parts of the state. This is the Southeast Region's list. Swim beaches, comfort stations, fishing piers, just maintaining the buildings and the infrastructure we have out there. Central Region, we have some big projects like West Bend Shoreline Restoration. Right now we have a situation where we need to do a riprap project down there that can save the front edge of our park. That alone is a $700,000 project. These aren't cheap. And then the West region, which we're in here today, see the examples there listed. All those projects add up to roughly $3.7 million that I just ran through. The other side of the equation is the operations side. This is the park managers on site and their staff working to take care of those customers that come in, those 350,000 camera units, so 8 million visitors. This is the maintaining of those buildings, maintaining the grounds, paying the utility bills, the monthly utility bills, just employing the staff. We use a lot of summer staff. Rather than employ people year-round, we infuse our park operations with a lot of summer staff. And they work 3 to 4 months out of the year doing that work for us while the visitors are there. Just like all of us, costs of vehicles have gone up, costs of driving to places, paying our fleet travel bill to take care of those things. Our capital asset expenditures, that's our equipment. We have a fleet of mowers, fleets of tractors, just all those kind of pieces of equipment that we have to take care of our parks. Then we have other expenses like communications and technology too that we get hit with every month. They're all going up. So that's what these dollars would go towards. Just to summarize, our fee package again, we operate on a user pay user benefit system for the most part. We, as Deputy Secretary Scott mentioned, we do get $4 million through the general fund. All of that $4 million goes to pay a portion of our seasonal salaries. That's it. We don't use it anywhere else. We depend on our camping and entrance fees. We last saw an increase in 2019. The cost of business is going up, as we talked about here. We really want to remain affordable. We hope that the lion's share of folks out there will see these fees as still affordable. They may not like it, but they also like what they get in the products that we offer and manage. So that's our goal. So with that, I'm going to take any questions, or are we going to save that for the end?
Let me see if we have any questions for your section. Any questions for Director Van Meter and Commissioner Beese?
Commissioner Beese, Jeff, as you was going through that, you mentioned that the increase is 11% increase. And then, but also stated that we are under a 20% increase a cost of doing business. And then down below, 35 to 40% increase in supplies. To me, that 11% is not covering our costs. So are we cutting somewhere else, or is 11% really going to be enough to do what we need? Is it kind of a Band-Aid thing for a year or two? Do you believe this 11% will last for 5 years, 6 years to cover what we need?
Through the chair.
Yes, please.
Yeah, great question, Commissioner Beese. If you're just to look at those percentages, you're absolutely right. We did not take that approach of just going 20% across the board. So as an example, the non-resident PEL fee is going up 66%. So just like our parks across the state, some make a little more money than other parks, some subsidize other parks. We've kind of looked at an across-the-board fee package. Some fees we tried to maintain, in my opinion, for the sake of not losing, to maintain, be affordable and not lose people. And that resident PEL fee is a great example of that. We want that to be affordable for everybody to come in. But then we did raise other things that well exceed 11%. So, yeah, it's not just an across-the-board fee increase. Does that answer your question?
Additional questions or comments? Jeff, I do have one, and it kind of piggybacks on what Commissioner Beese kind of brought up. When we were looking at this, and I know Director Kirschman will talk about some of the cuts that the department had to make over this past year, what did that look like for the Parks Division?
Madam Chair, so the last couple of years, we have been operating, trying to save somewhere around $800,000 to $1 million in internal costs, mostly on the operations side. But we also cut out roughly $2.5 million of projects on the development side. So that's where we save. Now, the operation side, things were like not so much this past year, but the year before, we sat on 10 positions that we did not fill for a great part of the year. The last couple of years, we've cut out $100,000 per region, $400,000 across the division in capital asset equipment expenditures. Those are the kinds of things we can do short term, but long term, that's where this fee package would go to replace some of those monies. If we continue that, we're going to get ourselves into a bad spot where we don't have the equipment to take care of our parks, or we've deferred our maintenance on some of those large projects to the point where we're in a really big hole. So,
very good. Thank you for that. Commissioner Beese.
Yeah, Jeff, I got one more question. Has it ever been looked at? I know this has to go to the legislators and everything to get approved. Has there been looked at a plan to go off CPI per year instead of just sitting, waiting, and then all of a sudden got out and we go off like CPI is like 3%, or if it's down to 2%, that automatically come in and adjust those fees for that rate? Would that help keep us caught up on a more regular basis?
Through the chair, Commissioner Beese, I'm not familiar with having those discussions at that level. Have we looked at that? I'm sure we've talked about it at times. We don't like to increase fees if we don't have to. You know, that would maybe be easier, but. I think the way we're doing it seems to work for us. Certainly another approach, though. So,
thanks.
Additional questions? Seeing no questions. Commissioner Whitmire.
Yeah, Commissioner Whitmire. Yeah, thank you. You did mention reaching out and kind of doing a little bit of work on researching other states and where they're at. Specifically on the park entrance, that, you know, they see that residents are paying the same as non-residents for park entrance, the $36, and we're basically adding an extra 20 to make it about 50% more expensive for non-residents for park entrances. Is that kind of what you're seeing, you know, for our neighboring states and around the country, is, you know, a significant higher park entrance fee for non-residents when we, you know, we look around?
Through the chair.
Yes, please.
Commissioner Whitmire, yeah, I'll just give you a couple of examples. Right now in Nebraska and Wyoming, as a resident, you would pay $35 for your park license in Nebraska. You would pay $48 for your park license in Wyoming. If you're a non-resident, you pay exactly twice that, $70 and $96. Montana and Colorado operate kind of on a different fee system that uses a license plate, where they give residents the option of opting in to a park license. But if they don't, then they pay the non-resident rate. Non-resident rate in Colorado is $80. Non-resident rate in Montana is $50. So it's kind of all across the board. About the only state right now that doesn't seem to have this on the radar is North Dakota, but most of the other states are talking about it. It's something we've talked about for years, just like to remain tourism friendly. We depend on our non-resident visitors. We don't want to lose those folks, but we also hear comments from our residents, especially the fishermen or campers when they don't get a campsite and they see the guy from a different state next to him, you know, and so we think this will go not only a ways in helping with that concern from them, but also helping us with our revenue needs. So,
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I just, I think that's, it makes good sense. And I was kind of expecting that's probably what your answer was going to be. Just overall, too, I don't think this is excessive. I mean, 11%. Certainly, it was 5 years ago in the case of camping versus wildlife, what have you. But yeah, there have been a lot of increases. So, well, I think you've done a good job. And thank you for going through the work on this. Maybe just one more comment. Overall, we've discussed FTE, full-time employee equivalents. We've not grown. I mean, the Department of GFP has not grown. This isn't about a bigger, we're not growing the department, we're not growing staff numbers. This is all just to offset increases that we incur and so we can continue to operate with the expected level of quality and services that we're doing. So I just want to, for wildlife as well, same situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Secretary Roebling.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Director Van Meter, can you just articulate, of the fees we're looking at here today, what is the percent increase of those fees?
Of these fees, Secretary Roebling, the percentage increase is 20.2% across the board when you look at them all collectively.
Very good. Any additional questions or comments? Seeing none, we are, thank you, Director Van Meter, we are at 1:52, and I'm guessing that 8 minutes, would that be enough? No. So what we are going to do at this point, for those that are with us here in the room and joining us online, we are going to take a break until 2 p.m. to allow us to stay on track for our public hearing and open forum. And once those are complete, we will come back and hear from Director Cushman. With that, we will be at ease until 2 p.m. Mountain Time. And we are